from the Starters on NBA TV. Their co-host, J.E. Skeets, joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. J.E., how are you, man?
Guys, how's it going? Did you just say you're in hour four?
Yes.
That's unbelievable. I do a 22-minute daily television show, and it feels like it takes forever to do that. That's crazy.
Well, I will say this. 22 minutes of television equates to about 8 hours of radio from a work and preparation standpoint.
That's maybe fair. That's true. So 4 hours is a long time. That's a lot of tea you got to be drinking to keep that voice nice and loose.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to look at the Raptors last night. I know you're Canadian.
Yep.
You were probably tuned in quite closely to that game last night. What was your take on what you saw from the Suns?
Yeah, I mean, the Raptors, pun intended here, but flew a little too close to the sun. I was a little worried there, and I actually thought the Suns were going to pull it out. I was amazed that Coach Nurse with the Raptors went to Siakam.
Yeah.
In an ISO up toss.
So were the Suns.
I don't think any Raptors fans saw that coming. It obviously worked out, but that was a ballsy call. It was honestly an entertaining game. You know, Suns have had a rough year, obviously, so you never know if you're going to get like a 30-point blowout for the other squad, but it was, you know, back and forth down the stretch.
Yeah, this Siakam kid, though, I was stunned by it, but I was also like, that is a big-time move to put it that high off the glass. That kid's got some serious skills, J.E.
Yeah, I mean, he is he's a gem. He's a steal. He's 27th, I believe, he was picked in the draft. Masai Ujiri grabbing him. I think he's going to be in the running, if not running away with it, most improved player, because he has just added so much to his game, including that game winner that you saw there, that little kiss off the glass with the left hand. I think it was a crazy call. Again, a lot of Raptors fans expected it, but there was no Kawhi Leonard, of course.
Yes.
And Lowry, though he had a better game, which isn't saying a whole lot if you see the box score, a better game against the Suns last night, he just is right now lacking any sort of explosion. So, in a way, it made sense to go to Siakam, and they talked about it after. Nurse saying, yeah, we thought he had the best chance of beating his guy, so he blew by Bridges. I thought Ayton rotated, you know, quite well and challenged it at the very least, but just a beautiful finish. But, yeah, he is going to be something special. I do think we're going to see, you know, all-star selections down the line for him. Maybe not this year, but in the future.
J.E. Skeets of the Starters on NBA TV, our guest here in Bickley and Murata. I'm sure you're familiar with this, but I'll give you a quick thumbnail of what we're dealing with in Phoenix. It started over the summer, Suns number one pick. There was this whole DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic debate. Most people here in Arizona were on board with the Ayton pick. And a lot of them have already jumped ship because of what Luka Doncic has done and what they feel DeAndre Ayton has failed to do so far. What do you make of all that, other than it's just too premature to come up with any conclusion, but your take on those two guys so far?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I guess I can understand, you know, either the general fan or some even Suns fans going, now looking at it, going, oh, no, I wish we had, you know, Luka Doncic, just because of maybe the exciting play that he does bring. And he could be an all-star this year. He sure looks like he is going to be a future all-star.
Mm-hmm.
But all that said, I was teammating with the number one pick in the draft.
Yep.
I stand by it. Like, it would be one thing if he was struggling, but he's not. I mean, he's playing on a bad team. He's playing, what, about 30 minutes a game, and he's given you 16 and 11, you know, a little bit of defense. It's gotten better, for sure. He was getting ripped for that early in the year, and I think it's improved, or at least what I've seen from Suns games and from him. He looks like he's going to be a cornerstone-type player. Now, he's not going to ever be probably as, you know, as sexy as pick as like a Luka, just the way he plays, but that's fine. I mean, you know, Tim Duncan ended up being all right. And I'm not saying Ayton's going to be Duncan, but I'm fine with a 2010 type of guy that, you know, is going to play in night in, night out, and hopefully does improve defensively. It's not a bad pick. It would be one thing if he was shooting 40% as a big man and, you know, just, he's just horrible at the free throw line and you can't play him at the end of the games. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's good. He's going to be better than good. So, you know, again, I get it. I get the idea, the allure of that, you know, shiny new toy there in Dallas with Luka, but no problems with, again, especially the improvement I've already seen in 45 games from Ayton here, his potential and where he's going to go. He's going to be a cornerstone for some team, for sure.
We in Phoenix, we all obviously love Devin Booker, but lately there's been a lot of questions. Is the guy a winning player? Is he a stat monster? Where do you fall in line when you just look at Devin Booker's game?
Well, yeah, if anyone is listening right now and does follow the Starters, for years, I'm Team Booker. I've been in his on his side, and it's been a fun game between Lee and I, one of the other co-hosts. He's always been Team Beal. I've been Team Booker, and it's, you know, just playful how these guys can, like, put up points in a hurry, and they're just explosive shooting guards. It's been a rough year. I mean, the injuries come into play here with Booker, and he's struggling to shoot the three, 32%. That's just not even close enough to being good enough for a guy like Booker. But I don't think they're – I guess it's tough to answer because we don't know. He hasn't been in a good situation so far, really, in his young career, with enough talent around him to see what he could do and whether these are empty stats. I don't believe they are. I think if you score 25 in this league, either on a bad team or on a good team, you can score. You're good. There's a reason you're in the NBA because you're just lights out. So I gotta still give it time. I just want to see him, obviously with some more talent or guys like Ayton and taking to the next step. I'm not giving up on any of these guys just because someone's got to be bad in the Western Conference, and unfortunately it's the Suns this year.
J.E. Skeets, one of the hosts of the Starters on NBA TV, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. The Suns started this road trip in Indiana against the Pacers. After that, that was a team that I really liked what they did in the offseason. They don't have superstar after superstar, but they got a lot of depth on that team. And I told my partner after that Suns game, it wouldn't shock me to see the Pacers in the finals out of the East. You think that's possible?
That would shock me. I got to be honest. Here's why. In order for that to happen, they would need Oladipo playing at an all-NBA type level. I mean, I watched a good chunk of the Sixers-Pacers last night, and that was now the second game where the Pacers lost to one of the better teams in the East and quite frankly got hammered. Mm-hmm. Sixers did it on Thursday night. Celtics had just done it, about a week ago in Boston. And you're going to need, in order to beat, because of where they're going to fall in the playoffs, they're going to be, third, fourth, or fifth. You're going to have to go through two really good teams out of the Raptors, the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics. And I think in order to do that, and I do like their defense, and I like a lot of their guys, Turner's gotten a lot better defensively. Sabonis is great at what he does, super efficient. But, it's a bit cliche, but you are going to need a guy to take over at the end of games and get you big buckets. And Oladipo did that at times last year. This year, injury has come into play, and he's sort of slowly taking his time to round into that sort of all-star, all-NBA form. But, if he's playing at that level, sure, but I don't see them going to the East Finals. I think they're going to put up a fight, whoever they play against, but they would be, I guess in a way, they would almost shock me if they got to an East Finals, because, they're going through teams that are just, in my opinion, just better, 1 through 7 in a lot of those teams I mentioned in the East.
Are you carving out time tomorrow? Of course you are, because this is what you do. But James Harden now, the role he's on, it's almost appointment viewing. I know tomorrow night I'm going to be watching that Lakers game, just seeing where he is going with this string of performances. Your thoughts on the contextual meaning of what this is all about?
It's weird tuning in to a Rockets game knowing that you're going to be really watching, I'm exaggerating obviously a little bit, but you're sort of watching 1-on-5.
Yeah.
And he's sort of pulling it off at times, or he has. And then, there was the rough Nets loss in overtime where, the Nets just did what you should do when you get into these clutch situations, run two or three guys at him and just make them pass it to a wide open Austin Rivers who missed, to a wide open Green in the corner who, didn't have a lot of time to get up a shot, but he missed. It's just weird. Now, everybody knows the game plan. Everybody knows what's going to happen. And he still goes out and puts up the 50 because he gets the line and can hit the threes, and he's just so crafty. Yeah, it is appointment viewing. I'm not sure I enjoy it, but I'm amazed by it, so I want to see how it unfolds.
Well,
but
yeah,
it's like at some point, right, be it in the playoffs or even coming up here, the guy's just got to get tired. I mean, it has to catch up to you. Just that carrying that workload and just everything running through you every single play. I think we're going to see, especially with no Chris Paul and now Capella out 4 to 6 weeks. I know Gordon's back, but we're going to see a lot of these headlines like Harden goes for 45, Harden goes for 52, but it comes in a loss to Team X. I do think we're going to see these as he continues to put up these unbelievable numbers. But it is fun to watch. You're right.
Yeah, well, we talked to Kevin Arnovitz about it, and I said, well, what do you think of this game? It's built on free throws and deceptions and traveling violations. He goes, yeah, it's gross. And that's word he used to describe the game. Yeah.
That's exactly right. It's gross, but it's almost like a bit of a car wreck. It's not great, but I'm going to sort of take a peek here. I want to see what's going on and why is this happening and what happened. So it's not for everybody, that's for sure. But, I mean, I don't care. Even if you do get 20 free throws in a game, you work to get there. And I understand that he can get away with some, rough calls because he'll hook an arm here or there, or he'll kick a leg here and there. But that said, he's not doing that every single time he's going to line. Two of those out of the 11 other instances that got him to the line, you know, or nine of the other 11 instances, are him, you know, creating contact and driving into guys because he's a beast. Like, this guy is a giant dude. He is ripped. So to put your body through that time and time again is pretty impressive. And then he also goes to the line like 18, 19 times a game, and he hits like 17 or 18 in them a game. And I know we think, ah, they're professional athletes. Of course they should be able to hit free throws. But look at the Lakers. They struggle at the line. Look at other teams. Westbrook can't hit a free throw. Like, it's not a given. Those aren't just given points. So he's obviously talented there. But it's fun to watch, as weird as that sounds.
All right, something else I find gross around the league for far different reasons is the Warriors adding DeMarcus Cousins to the lineup tonight against the Clippers. And there's an anticipation, obviously, because it's the Warriors. And how does Boogie fit in? And what are your expectations for him initially?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously have enough time to figure it out, any sort of growing pains. And I guess that's the scary part here. I think they're doing a great job. The Warriors are, too. And I'm talking about Steve Kerr and even some of their players. They're, like, getting ahead of the story in terms of potential growing pains with putting a guy like Cousins into their, you know, free-flowing sort of three-point heavy offense, because they keep saying, like, you know, it's going to take a while. He's got to understand how we play, and we got to understand how to play with him. That's smart, because, you know, it should be a bit of a hiccup here maybe in terms of their season. And they're rolling right now. They're scoring like 133 points per game over their last six or seven. It's like insane. But they're going to figure it out is the scary part for the rest of the league. The only thing I could think that maybe makes this not work is the idea that Cousins is playing for another contract. And maybe even, you know, he wants obviously like max money because he's a former All-NBA All-Star player. Uh-huh. So is there like this sort of, you know, push and pull between him wanting to get his numbers and to show the other 29 teams like, hey, I'm worth that max money after the Achilles injury, paired with the way the Warriors play and like everybody eats and, you know, again, the ball is moving and stuff like that. Like, could those two like ideologies sort of clash a little bit and maybe then make things a little more interesting? Hopefully, I guess, for the rest of the league.
Yeah, really.
But I really do think if anyone can make it work, it is guys like Curry, just the way he is as a leader and how selfless he is, and then Steve Kerr, too, being a great coach. So, yeah, it's pretty wild that they're adding DeMarcus Cousins to that team tonight, though.
Yeah, we get our first look tonight. I wanted to congratulate you, too. I saw your tweet, or the show's tweet, 13 years of going all the way back to the Basketball Jones. I've been a fan of your guys' work for a long time. And I commend you on your ascension to NBA TV. And when I watch, what I like about sports television, what makes it must viewing for me, is when the guys on the show look like they're having fun, and your show definitely applies there. So congratulations on everything.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah,
well, he's only doing 22 minutes. It's easy to have fun.
Yeah, exactly. It ain't 4 hours. Oh, man, I can't imagine. We'd be yelling at each other, screaming at each other. No, it's we started the podcast 13 years ago today, which is pretty wild. And
wow.
Then, have now been here at NBA TV doing the television show for, I guess we're in our sixth season here.
Wow.
But, yeah, it is like I do have that rare job, you know, where you wake up on Monday and you're like, oh, yeah, I get to go to work and talk about the NBA with my buddies and make a TV show. I mean, that sounds all right.
That's pretty cool.
We try and have fun with it.
Yeah, it's not a bad gig. J.E., thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. J.E. Skeets, the host of the Starters on NBA TV, our guest here in the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline. That's CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com.